Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts, do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many.
Evening. It's wonderful to see you all out this evening, including our visitors. We're so excited to have you here as our honored guests. And the sermon this evening is part of a sermon series that I'm building on the home and the responsibilities of both parents and children. And if you weren't here last week, last Sunday evening, we spent some time talking about the responsibilities of parents towards their children and some of the lessons that sometimes parents forget. And just a quick overview of the three lessons that we talked about is that parents need to be able to admit the mistakes that they've made in the past, in the present. Parents need to seek ways to talk to their children about the Lord always. And finally, parents needed to teach their children the value of the Scriptures. But like I said a moment ago, in this particular sermon, I want to switch our focus now to the side of the children so that we can discuss their responsibilities that they have towards us as parents. Because while parents have a significant amount of influence on their children's decisions and actions while living under their roof in the home, there are commands that are given specifically and directly to children. And just some objectives for this evening. This evening, I want to showcase four essential responsibilities that are given to children by the Lord. I then want to explain the reason why the Lord commands this of children, especially our children. And then finally, I want us to understand for each of these reasons what will happen to children who decide not to heed the commands of the Lord. And so this evening, out of the four, I'll start with the first one, and I believe that children need to respect authority. But why is submitting authority so important for our children to learn? Well, as I said a moment ago, I want to place our primary focus on children, but I don't want to exclude parents in this sermon. Because without good parents, good Christian parents, teaching their children these lessons, it'd be very difficult for anyone to pick them up and learn them. But above all, the primary reason that this is so important for our children to understand is because the Lord said so in Ephesians 6, 1. Where he says simply, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And unfortunately, one particular problem that I tend to see in our society, especially today, is where many children will only obey the commands of their parents or the instructions of their parents whenever they're given a quote-unquote good enough reason for why it needs to be done. And the Lord didn't say in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, when they offer you a good enough reason to do it. That comes from the Children's Translation. I wouldn't recommend that for your average daily Bible study. But you know, what's going to happen to children who don't respect authority in this world? And as we already discussed, children who need an explanation for absolutely everything that is explained to them or told of them to do, they're going to struggle in this world. And maybe an illustration that would make more sense to maybe some of my young adults in the room, those who are just starting to drive, maybe gain a little bit more responsibility. You know, what do you think is going to happen when you disobey a police officer's commands? If a police officer were to pull me over and tell me to step out of the vehicle, put my hands in the air, and face away from him and walk back slowly, the last thing I'm going to do is walk towards him with my hands in my pockets or my hands near my pockets saying, well, why, officer, what did I do? that's not going to end very well for me. Disobeying a lawful command from a police officer can often end in jail time, or, as the example I just gave, a much worse scenario. But maybe tailored to more of the younger audience, the younger kids, you know, what do you think is going to happen when you disobey your teachers in school? And I don't know if this happens anymore, but whenever I was in fifth grade, in our homeroom classroom, we had a yardstick that would hang right beside the clipboard by the door. And at the very top of the stick, you had the color green, and at the very bottom of the stick, you had red. And if you were misbehaving, you would have to, I think the term was, flip your clip down to the bad colors. Of course, that crushed me as a kid. I was like, oh no, got to move it down to yellow. That's one step closer to red. And if you were in the green, of course, you were doing good that day, and the teacher was happy with you. And I don't know if that happens anymore, but children who follow the teachings of God will generally be the most law-abiding citizens and well-behaved students. Now, this isn't always going to be the case, because human authorities are going to sometimes make rules that Christians can't follow in good conscience, as it would lead us to disobeying God's commands as He carries higher authority. But children, I think it's a general lesson that children who don't learn to respect authority and submit to that authority, well, they're always going to be in trouble, as our society is based on a hierarchy of authority. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, Paul tells us, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." But now that we understand maybe some ideas and some illustrations on how children will suffer in the world, the physical world, I think more importantly we need to discuss how are children going to suffer spiritually. And children who refuse to respect the authority of the Lord, not just the government or the police, but the Lord, well, they're never going to be able to have fellowship with the Lord or His followers. And just with a raise of hands from the young people and the children, who has been told by their parents that they should love Jesus, love God? Just a show of hands. Okay, good. Thank you, parents, for teaching that to your children, because that's vitally important. It's the first step. But we can't stop here, because as parents, we need to make sure that our children understand that submitting to spiritual authority and love come as a single package. They can't be separated. And in John, the 14th chapter, starting in verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Skipping down to verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So Jesus is trying to make the point, and of course, in applying it to what we're talking about this evening, is that we read that one of the commandments that we're given is, if we love God, we're going to obey His commandments. And as we read earlier in Ephesians 6:1, children are commanded to love their parents. So when children obey their parents, that's how they show their love for the Lord. Because it's one thing to say, well, I love Jesus, I love God. It's another thing to show it. And the second lesson and responsibility that I think children carry is that children need to be patient with their parents. Well, you know, why do children need to be patient with their parents? Why is that a responsibility of children? Well, as we established last week, because parents are fallible. Parents can make mistakes. We're not perfect people. And during Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave a very easy rule for all of us, children and adults, to follow. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 says, Jesus said, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." And children need to learn patience because in the same way that they want their parents to be patient with them whenever they fall and whenever they make mistakes and when they sin, they need to be just as patient with their parents who are just as imperfect as they are. And I think along this line of thinking is that children must also realize that their Christian parents are doing the best that they can to make good, godly decisions for their families. Because while parents aren't perfect, we've already established that, children still need to honor their parents and their decisions, especially when it comes to discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, and verses 7 through 11, the Hebrews writer tells us, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." In other words, the parent who disciplines his son and the parent who disciplines his daughter is the parent who loves his children or their children. We're even told this directly in Proverbs, the 13th chapter, in verse 24. It says it very directly, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." But what's going to happen to children who aren't patient? What's going to happen to them? Well, I would first like to suggest that children who struggle with patience, well, they're also going to struggle to forgive others, as they often want to be forgiven. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, we see a scene where Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. The type of forgiveness that I think we can see here is that Jesus is referring to a forgiveness that is without ceasing, which some of the more experienced parents in the room can attest to it. It takes a lot of patience to be able to forgive without ceasing. And if we were to continue reading in verses 23 through 34 of Matthew 18, Jesus tells Peter a parable of 2 men who have debts. And the first man, the first servant, well, he owes money and he's confronted by his master. And we come to find out that the amount that he owed was several lifetimes worth. In other words, he couldn't pay it back. And the master then said to the servant, because he couldn't pay his debt, he was going to take him, he was going to take his wife, and he was going to take his children and all of his belongings and sell them into slavery so that he could get the money from the proceeds of that sale to help pay off the servant's debt. And then in verses 26 and 27, if you'll notice, the man pleads and he begs for what? Well, he begs and pleads for patience with the master. He doesn't directly say, "Forgive me of my debt, please just take it away." He begs for patience. And the master allows his debt to be forgiven. And after the servant was completely forgiven of his debt, he goes out and finds another servant just as himself, takes a hold of him by the throat and says, "Pay me what you owe me," showing him no mercy whatsoever. Of course, this upset the other servants. The servants go to the master and tell him what just occurred. And the master is not very happy. And so he decides, because he didn't show mercy or forgiveness to this other servant as he was, he would put him in jail until he could pay his debt that had been previously forgiven. And if we're able to recognize that patience and forgiveness are so closely tied together, only then will we be able to understand that children who struggle with patience are likely going to suffer their entire lives. And that children who struggle with patience may struggle to maintain fellowship and relationships with like-minded brothers and sisters in the church. Because Paul told the saints in Ephesus that patience was one of the most important attributes that a Christian could have. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 1 and 2, Paul told the saints in Ephesus, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, and bearing love and with one bearing with one another in love." And I know that there are a lot of overlaps in this sermon. There's a lot of stuff that gets repeated because it applies to multiple different areas. But children who struggle to find the ability to have patience with others, they're going to find it very difficult when they're older to be able to walk in the light, as all Christians are commanded to do. The next lesson and responsibility that I think children have to their parents is that children need to honor their parents. And according to a simple Google AI overview of what is the definition of honoring your parents, I kind of like the way that they phrased it. They said, "To honor your parents means to show them respect, gratitude, and high regard in your words and actions." But then it goes a step further, and it says, "This involves an inward attitude of valuing them, being thankful for their sacrifices, speaking of them with dignity, and acting in a way that reflects well on them." So this is not just a outward showing of, I call my mom on the phone a couple times a week, and I make sure that they're doing okay. This is an inward attitude that we all must adopt as children. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, Paul told Timothy, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, and older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity." Which kind of leads me into the sub-point, is that we need to ensure as children that our parents don't feel like burdens. Now, this is going to apply more to maybe young adults, or maybe a child who has moved out and they're living on their own, and your parents may be a little bit older. But sometimes whenever our parents become older, they're going to need a little bit more support, either physically or mentally, maybe financially. There's going to be things that they need from us. And in 1 John chapter 5, in verses 1 through 3, sometimes parents may feel, or may even say to us directly, "I don't want to be a burden on you. I don't want to slow you down in this life. I move a little bit slower these days. I don't want to burden you." And the scriptures speak against this attitude. In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3, John tells us, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God. And when we love God and obey His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." If we're truly obeying the Lord's commands, we will honor our parents in the way that the Lord wants us to. And unfortunately, the instruction that we find in 1 John chapter 5, well, our society doesn't believe this. They don't think this way. In fact, the thinking of many in our culture is a person's value is based on their usefulness. How much are they contributing to the economy? What are they doing outside of the home? Because to our society. That's how you attain value. And this couldn't be farther from the truth. Leads me into my next point in my final part of this evening's sermon, is that children need to respect their parents' wisdom, because our parents' wisdom is a true reflection of their value to us. But why do children need to respect their parents' wisdom? Well, because wisdom is a product of life experience. And for some of us, we don't have that much of it compared to others. And in 2024, Luke Combs, a country song artist, he wrote a list of about 10 or 15 songs, and he titled the album Fathers and Sons. And of course, when this album came out, Hudson hadn't been born yet, so I enjoyed this album quite extensively. But one of his last songs in this album was titled My Old Man Was Right. And this song is about a son, and I think he's referring to himself, is that he's learning life lessons from his father, who's desperately trying to teach him things about life. Unfortunately, the son only realizes his father's wisdom after experiencing the consequences of the way he wants to do things. But I want to read the last verse in this song, and it resonates with me, and I think it'll resonate with a lot of you as well. He says in the last verse, "Now it's his turn, that being his father, to watch me be the old man, with my baby boy lying by my side. In every lesson that he taught me, I hope I teach him, because I'm old enough to know that my old man was right." Because every child at one point in their life is going to have the thought, and I had this thought, my parents are in the audience this evening, I've got to be careful, I had the thought of, what do my parents know? I know more than them. They don't understand me. They don't understand my life. They don't get it, because they've never lived through what I've been through. And I said, even saying that out loud, it just sounds ridiculous. But, children need to understand that life experience comes with mistakes. But it also comes with the knowledge of how not to repeat those exact same mistakes. And I want to make this clear to all the young people. Just, you could hear all the knowledge in the world. You could have every older person in this congregation line up and they could tell you 100 things about what not to do. It doesn't mean you're immune to making mistakes. But just like they were able to gain life experience, you're now better equipped to handle those, maybe those temptations that hit your parents or your grandparents. That way you're better equipped to handle them. But like I said earlier, I think I find myself relating to that last verse a whole lot more now that I have my own child. Because I hope that the lessons that my parents try to teach me, to love the Lord, have my own faith, and to help others, amongst other great, wonderful life lessons, I hope that I get to teach Hudson those lessons. And I hope I do. I plan on doing that. But what's going to happen to children who don't listen to the wisdom of their parents? Well, in Proverbs chapters 1 through 8, Solomon pleads with his son to heed the advice of his words and the wisdom from his wife, and so that his son wouldn't make bad choices in who he hangs around and the woman that he would choose to spend the rest of his life with, woman folly and woman wisdom. But these, I've just put a couple of them up on the screen. There's many more, I'm sure. But this is the way that the father introduces his sentence, and often the way he ends it. He starts by saying, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." And then he'll end by saying, "Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth." Because the Lord granted King Solomon tremendous wisdom, as that was one of his greatest treasures, so that we know that these proverbs are as if the Lord said them himself. But I think in these first eight chapters of Proverbs, there's two lessons that we need to take away from it. The first is the responsibility of the parents. Because I think after reading, if you take the time to read Proverbs chapters 1 through 8, you'll find that parents are implicitly commanded to have the diligence of King Solomon in teaching our children today about the fear and the wisdom of the Lord. But then on the flip side, children are directly commanded, they are explicitly commanded to listen to the wisdom of our parents, just as Solomon's son did, so that like Solomon's son, we can understand the true fear and wisdom of the Lord. And I hope that this lesson was as encouraging to you as it was for me. And if you take nothing else away from this lesson this evening, we need to remember that children are responsible to respect their parents' authority. Children have the responsibility to be patient with their parents. And children are responsible to honor their parents and honor their wisdom. To the young people here this evening, the world is often going to look down upon you because of your age, your inexperience, how little life experience you have. But Paul told Timothy not to ever give anyone a reason to look down on you. And if you're following these rules, and if you're adhering to your responsibilities and you're taking it seriously, you're never going to give anyone a reason to look down on you, especially other adults. And only by doing these things that we've discussed today can we be children, true children of God. And I know this evening that we spent a lot of time talking about the roles and responsibilities of children and young people. And I know that this doesn't apply to everyone here age-wise, but thankfully, we never stop being children. And even in the spiritual sense, it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter at all. Because if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, excuse me, you need to understand that you're not His child. But you are still created in the image of God. And you are still His creation. But because of the sin that you have in your life, there's no way for you to have fellowship with Him. And the Lord doesn't want you to remain this way. Because every time we meet, we like to offer those who are not Christians an invitation to become a child of God. And we have everything here ready to assist you in becoming His child. And if you're already one of His children, if you've already obeyed the gospel, do you still continually love the Lord? Are you following in His commandments still? Are you walking in the way that He would readily recognize you as one of His children? If you continue in your sin, if you do have sin, it will destroy the relationship that you have with the Lord. But thankfully, just as God sent His Son for the unbeliever so that they would have an opportunity to become His child, He also sent His Son so that you could obtain forgiveness of your transgressions and come back to Him. The Lord is able and He is willing to forgive you of your transgressions if you will ask for His forgiveness. And if you're subject to the invitation this evening, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing.